Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Pick any of those. Just appreciate you allowing us to be part of your morning each and every morning right here on the numbers game. This is the hour you've all been waiting for. Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob standing by, ready to do their thing. Matter of fact, let's not have them stand by anymore, Kelly, shall we?
Let's not.
Let's do this. Chris Felica joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You may know him as the Bear El Oso from Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A. How you doing, Christopher? What's happening?
We got to get this hour sponsored by the Legends Club.
Or something. The Legends, whatever you could think of. That's the name, the Legends.
Or a hotel chain. Can I start with my favorite question?
Please.
Chris, where are you staying at this week?
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful hotel. The Renaissance.
Oh.
Renaissance Boulder and the Flatiron. Yeah, very, very comfortable accommodations this week out in Colorado.
In honor of my backup quarterback rankings, someone ask this of you. Could you rank discount hotels 1 through 5 for us?
We got to do a full
that you've stayed in
on this.
Oh, can I come back to that?
Sure,
on that?
You can.
I don't want to waste time while I rattle my brain through and
okay.
Think about it.
All right, please take all the time you need. Take all the time you need on that.
I will. Next week, I promise.
I'm contractually obligated to ask this. I know it's the second time I've used that phrase today, but Tyson Paul, are you doing anything with this?
No.
Okay.
There's no chance this fight isn't rigged, right?
No, I don't think there is. I don't think there is at all. You know. Jamie Leyva, this is again, people's thoughts are reflected well in these tweets. He says, I agree with everything you guys said about the Tyson fight. However, he spells it, if there ever was a boxer to go off script, it would be Mike. I will definitely be watching. Who doesn't want to see Paul get knocked out, have a magnificent.
But that's the thing. We all grew up getting together in the late 80s and such, like it was how quickly is Mike Tyson going to pummel Marvis Frazier into the ground? And that was that's what we want to see. We want to bring back those memories of happiness and seeing Mike Tyson, the most feared man on the planet at that time. But is that going to happen? Probably not.
Marvis Frazier, I believe, was 29 seconds. Don't hold me to that.
Something like that.
Michael
yeah.
Spinks was 91 seconds. Don't hold me to that. Something like that. Okay, let's get to college football. You through text this week. You had some very interesting thoughts that have led to some very interesting bets. The floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, if you look at the SEC, it's a really, I don't want to say ridiculous, but there are going to be a bunch of tiebreakers that come into play here. And I think ultimately what's going to happen is you're going to get the winner of Texas A&M taking on either Alabama or LSU. And I think Alabama should beat Oklahoma. Alabama should beat Auburn. I think each of those teams are 1-5 in the SEC. And then you're looking at Alabama versus the winner of Texas A&M. You can get Alabama still around 4-1 or so to win the SEC title. I think that's a really good bet being that under the scenario. I think a lot of this also assumes Georgia as a 10-point favorite beat Tennessee tomorrow, which is a likely case. But then the way the tiebreak's probably going to break down, you're going to see Alabama in that game. And 4-1, I think, is a really good bet there. I 4-20 was what I saw them at FanDuel a couple of days ago. I don't know what it's moved to now. And then yesterday, I bet as a result of that kind of correlated, Jalen Milroe with 23-1 to win the Heisman. Because I think if you do get Alabama in that game and they do win the SEC title, you have to, I don't want to say assume, but say Colorado, who I have a Travis Hunter ticket, of course, there's a little bit of a hedge against that. Say Colorado loses a game and doesn't get to the Big 12 championship game. Say Oregon gets to the Big 10 championship game and loses. Say there's a block of people out there that still don't really believe that a Mountain West running back is the best the best football player in the country. You look at a quarterback of an SEC champion team at 23-1. I certainly made stupider and worse bets than that.
Yeah,
I just grabbed some Jalen Milroe at 25 to 1 back here at Circa before the show. As a matter of fact, who on that board? Let's ask it this way. You may have already answered it, but who on that Heisman board? Travis Hunter at even money, Dylan Gabriel at plus 350. There is Ashton Gentry at 4 to 1, Cam Ward at 7 to 1. Those are the only folks in single digits before you get to Curtis Rourke on down. Who's the one that absolutely will not be winning this? Like, who are the ones you can just throw out?
Curtis Rourke isn't going to win. I mean, with the schedule that he's played, like, unless you think they're going to beat Ohio State and beat Oregon in the Big Ten championship game, the money line parlay on that is probably just as enough a bigger role. Ohio State or Indiana on the money line next week, Indiana on the money line in the Big Ten championship game. You're probably getting close to that number anyway. I don't think any of the guys below Gentry can win. Like, I still don't think Gentry can win. I don't think any of those guys in double digits really have a realistic price outside of my thought process on Jalen.
I was about to say, it sounds like you softened your stance on Gentry a little bit there, though. Like, you're opening the door a little bit for him.
Well, I think if you play out the scenario that I played out, and maybe Alabama doesn't win, and everything happens, then it's like, okay, he ran for however many yards. Boise's going to the college football playoff. Maybe it's just kind of this default award, but I still don't think that's going to happen. I think in real world, we've ultimately narrowed it down to two: Travis Hunter and Dylan Gabriel. And my flyer on Milroe probably won't win, but like I said, I think it does have a chance if things get a little crazy here in the last couple weeks of the season.
Okay, college football this weekend. Where are you going to be, by the way, with Big Noon Saturday?
We're in Boulder. We're in Colorado before the Colorado Utah game, and it's interesting because I was listening to Jason as well, and then the number is crazy. It's drifted up into double digits, and you got to go back a long ways to find the time last time that Utah were a double digit favorite. It's funny, you hear the stories this week about the Utah football building for people who have been there a while and around the program that said they have not seen that building and is despondent of a mood as they were on Monday morning. So who knows if they come out of that. The one thing I will say for Jason is the best thing for Utah is they're as healthy as they've been in the front seven all year long. So that should probably give them a decent chance of slowing down the Colorado attack. But yeah, I'm with him. I certainly couldn't lay double digits here with Colorado.
All right, let's hear him. And please don't say Kansas. That's all I'm asking. Please don't say Kansas.
No, I'm not going to say Kansas.
Okay, thank
I'm
you.
I don't want to do that to you. I don't want to put through Jake Retzloff hate there.
Thank you.
But I did have Utah last week. I played Washington tonight, -3.5. It's up to 4. I wouldn't go higher than 4. I think it's moving towards 4.5, but UW has been a much different team at home this year. Will Rogers is going to play. I see you're showing 4.5 at Circa now. So I think there are still some 4s out there you can find. UCLA amazingly owned the line of scrimmage last week, running the ball against Iowa, who wind up having to play a converted linebacker as a backup quarterback in that game. I don't think they're going to be as fortunate tonight. So I would still lay 4 with Washington. I took 14 with Wisconsin against Oregon solely because Wisconsin looked so bad the last time they played. And I know they've been blown out by two top 10 teams on their home field. And I don't think they're necessarily that good. But Oregon, you kind of get this vibe. Like, they played great ever since that Ohio State game. At some point, I think they just might have like a go through the motions kind of game. And maybe that's good enough. Look, this isn't a situation where Oregon in the BCS or a 4-team playoff needs to go out and put up a big number for style point. They know they beat Wisconsin. They beat Washington. They win the big, they're in the playoff and they're the number one seed. So it's about, I think, kind of just managing the game, managing workload and making sure you don't get Dylan Gabriel or Birch or anyone else injured come second half. So I played Wisconsin plus 14 and I played San Jose State plus 14 against Boise. But I don't think this is going to be a gimme game for Boise. You look at the couple of games Boise's had on the road this year in Mountain West play. They were life and death at UNLV, who's a good team. They went to Hawaii, and that was a 6-point game in the fourth quarter. Last week, they didn't really even look great against Nevada. Nick Nash is one of the best wide receivers in the country. I think San Jose State and that offense can put up points here. Their rush defense is not terrible. So I think 14 is a lot here. I took the Spartans here plus the points, and I played a Missouri team total under 14.5. I think Missouri is the biggest fraud in the country. Somehow they're 3-2 in SEC play, and they probably should be 5-0. You beat Vanderbilt in double overtime on your home field. You scored a touchdown with 46 seconds left to beat Auburn on your home field. You scored two touchdowns in the final minute to beat Oklahoma on your home field. Those two teams, like I said, 1-5 in SEC play. All three of those games were in Columbia. Now you're on the road with Drew Pine, most likely at quarterback, against a really good front. And you talk about a season of what could have been. South Carolina, I think, is like the perfect example of that. They easily could be 8-1, kind of gave away a game against LSU early in the year. Very possibly could have beaten Alabama in Tuscaloosa. So South Carolina, one of those teams, 6-3, but much better than what their record indicates.
Wow. Chris Velika calling the Harvard of Boone County the biggest frauds in college football. Tell a parlay.
I'm sorry. Don't tell the Grover Cleveland of
nor
Ben Wilson about that.
Parles and Wilson, shots fired.
Elliot Bowman too. He had to correct my English earlier today before the show. Really? Yeah.
Real quick, rapid fire. Will there be a 3-loss team in the playoff ultimately?
I'm going to say no. And I'm only basing that on how the committee ranked the basically loss ordered teams this week. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no 3-loss team.
I fear yes. That is my stance currently.
Okay, we'll see.
And then your favorite NFL play of the week is?
It was Philadelphia last night, but I'm going to get sucked into the Bengals again, and I hate myself for it, but I'm going to do it. You look at the quarterbacks that the Chargers have beaten this year. Minshew, Bryce Young, Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler, Jameis Winston, Willie Levis. Next four games, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Kirk Cousins, Patrick Mahomes. There's a time to bet an all-win total maybe on the Chargers going under and maybe bet against the Chargers. I think it starts on Sunday.
And just to clarify, Chris said he was sucked into it. Just want to make sure everybody heard that. Thank you, Chris.
Yes,
appreciate
correct.
It. Fezzik is next.
VSIN, the sports betting network.
Our all-new VSIN Watch app makes it easy to watch or listen to VSIN anywhere, anytime, on your phone or tablet. For a limited time only, you can watch it for free. Don't cost you nothing. Visit the Apple app or Google Play Store now to download the VSIN Watch app and get 24/7 access to our live audio and video stream. Watch replays of your favorite VSIN shows, easily stream video to your smart TV, browse clips by sport, or use the search feature to find specific VSIN expert insights you're interested in. The VSIN Watch app, free to download for both Apple and Android users, so do not delay. Visit the Apple or Google App Store now to download the all-new VSIN Watch app now and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Holy Buckeye. Hey, it's Kirk Chamberlain, everybody. He says, the gloves they are using are, in fact, big. He says, it's a pillow fight, talking about Tyson Paul tonight. That I'm told, is going to be the first thing where people are like, oh, my God, what is this? Paul Zhang, these gents know how to finish the week off right with Felika Fezzik and Dr. Bob. And James Fraction. Hey, Gil, Kelly running around the studio reminded me of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air episode when Carlton ran around the studio and into the crowd. That was hilarious. One more important note, Caleb Williams. Let's try that again. Caleb Williams. Wrong day. Okay. No, not here. Okay. The Caleb Williams firer is not here. The guy who punches the button. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest at the time. It's the great Steve Fezzik at Fezzik Sports on Twitter, live and in person, because thank God we don't have the Twitter version of him. How you doing, man?
Voldemort.
Voldemort is
hey,
right.
You know, there was a TV show called The Grudge Match. I don't know if you ever caught that, where there two people had a gripe and then they go to the boxing match and they had gloves that were like literally balloons.
Like cartoons, yeah.
Yes, and like the comedian John Panette was like the ref, and it was just like, you got to wonder, is it all on the up and up? Is it real, right?
Yeah. You're not betting on this tonight, are you?
I probably will be betting.
You will.
I feel obligated to bet on. You know why?
Why?
Because it's a super, super high volume event.
Okay.
Hey, pros don't always agree on everything. So I was driving in. I almost had an accident when Jason mentioned, and maybe I misheard him, but I believe he said, when there's a super, super large volume betting event, I tend to avoid it. And
that, did he say it? I missed that. If
and
he
I'm
did.
A complete oppo. If I hear there's a super high volume event, especially if it's something crazy like an exhibition or something that or a preseason game or something, and for whatever reason there's a ton of volume, I love betting that stuff.
Yeah, your text was a angry text with Steve Fezzik. Everybody said I 100% disagree with Weingarten. Absolutely want to look to play on anything that is getting huge volume for the betting public. But then you did turn around and you said 100% agree with the Weingarten handicapping the worst teams part that he talked about.
Oh, it's a lot easier to find a winner on or against Kennesaw State than to play on or against Alabama. Absolutely. But getting back to why the high volume games are so good.
Yeah.
I have no interest. I go into my Circa app and I see Jake Paul minus 250 and the old guy plus 210. And I'm like, eh. Ignore it. It's too big of a differential, bid versus ask. And I know Matt Buchholzer and all the other math geeks are going to disagree with me. And they're like, oh, the theoretical hold is under 4.54% and it's absolutely beatable. And I don't agree at all. And here's why I don't agree. Because whenever I go to a betting exchange, I go to a sports trade, mm-hmm. you know, a low vig option, or I go to a betting exchange, shocking, there it is, minus 230. And plus 229. So it gets shrunk to a 1 cent straddle. So if you think you're going to win playing plus 210 when you can get plus 229, and if you think you're going to win laying minus 250 when you get minus 230, I think you're delusional. But, or it's so rare. But I tell you this, think about this. If you can just pick 50.2%, you're going to win on a super high volume game because there's always going to be someone who takes your offer. So if you want to just fiddle in the middle and put up a no vig price on any betting exchange, someone's going to take it because everyone's betting the fight. So I love events like this.
Okay. Makes sense. I did not catch that from Jason. Somehow that went by me.
Could have misheard him. You can check with him. Yes.
Okay. You also wanted to talk about, because I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, by the way, we will get to the staple of Fezzik's appearances have become, we didn't really plan this, but have become look ahead plays. Which you did oh so well on with specifically this past week on this. So what was the one this week again? I'm forgetting that.
We had Green, the two best ones.
Oh, Green Bay,
I only
Chicago.
Like talking about the good ones. So Green Bay minus 2.5.
Yeah.
Lay minus 120 against Chicago. And we
which
got
is now in, what, six and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it came down to like five. Yeah. Who cares? And then I got it in good with some other plays. And the one I got it in bad with was Atlanta.
Atlanta to Denver. I was going to bring it up.
Yes. Yeah. So
because it was a pick 'em at the time and you liked Atlanta.
Yes. And, you know, it's the danger of look ahead bets, is that things can absolutely change. But if you in the aggregate, if you put it all together, like we got Buffalo plus one against Kansas City. And now they're laying two and a half. And
so we'll get to those for week 12 momentarily. But before, I wanted to give you a chance because I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, which is I was going through the Eagles Commodores game last night. And I was talking about how, you know, I do think, listen, the Eagles are a better football team. They wore out Washington. But, you know, people do get in retrospect, they go 100% good, 100% bad. And I think there was a world where Washington could have easily gone up 14-0, but there were unforced errors, drops and stuff. But I was also commenting on the broadcast itself and how Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit didn't feel like they captured the moment specifically, you know, like phantom calls, but also like the lack of urgency on that last Washington drive. They only sort of picked up on it late. You had something specific about it, too.
Well, two things. First off, they couldn't do the math that it was what most announcers would call a two-score game, down 16. Mm-hmm. Some might argue it's a four-score game because they got to make both two-point conversions.
Two-possession game.
The game is not over. I like the way you say that, two possessions. It's not over, and they're like, well, you know, now it's all meaningless. And like, think about this. They're like having people turn off their TV sets when it's theoretically possible. Yeah. Absolutely. That Washington could get the two touchdowns. Last time I checked,
though, in their defense, Washington was kind of playing it that way, too. Right.
Matriculating down the field. Well, they wanted to cover my plus 8.5 bet. That's what they were planning on. But the last time I checked, like New England seemed to do pretty well down 16 against Atlanta. Yeah. So maybe they missed that Super Bowl, whatever. But it's almost like I blame the producers. It's like, are the producers to have a big screen and say, you are blowing it. You need to explain this is a two possession game. It's like, nope. They're just like, eh.
You know, I wonder how much of this, now we're getting off topic here, but I wonder how much of that is just the justifiable respect for Al Michaels. And that, you know, someone was mentioning on the Megapod yesterday that Brent said, because they know one of my bugaboos is when people say altitude, when it's really elevation. And Brent said altitude. And they were laughing about how the fact that I didn't call Brent on it, because who am I, little pisher, to say anything to the great Brent Musburger?
Absolutely.
I wonder if part of that
I bet Wishnev did.
Not on that, but but there were some other things. But I wonder how much of that is, you're right. Like, I can't tell Al Michaels that.
I mean, it's a great point. By the way, Al Michaels, play-by-play for the Cincinnati Reds in the early 70s.
Yes. Where he sounds like, I mean, his voice is so much higher. And
he's still amazing. Yeah. So Al Michaels and the old left-hander, Joe Nuxall, rounding third, heading for home. So that was...
All right, but I was getting to the part that really annoyed you about was the two-point conversion.
Oh, my God. And this happens all the time, where a dude catches the ball going out of bounds, falling down. And so to be fair to Al Michaels, and so they spend a minute looking at size 13 Zach Ertz feet and, oh, they're clearly in. They're clearly in. What's taking them so long? This is going to count. It's going to count. It's like, you know, the feet have to be in and you have to secure the ball as you're falling to the ground. I don't know if you've heard this before.
Yeah.
And it's like there's the slightest of bobbles. So the camera should be showing every picture. I actually don't think it should have been a catch, but I couldn't tell because they showed 19 clips of the feet.
That's
and
right.
One clip of the hands, and it looked like there was, when he fell to the ground, it looked like there was a slight little bobble, which would have said, boy, if they called a no catch, you know, inconclusive.
That's right.
It would stay no catch. So, but and they were like emphatic, it's a catch, his feet are in, and it's like, and you, but to be fair, they do this, announcers do this all the time. They get fixated on one thing, and then you bring in the expert, right? And the expert went
right with him.
And the ref is like pontificating about everything. It's like, how about you lead with that's a catch or that's not a catch? And then you can explain. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Before we get to your look aheads, do you have anything from this week that you played in the end? That you wanted to share?
You know what? I don't like anything.
Currently.
I am so much in the minority. Everybody else comes on and they got seven plays and they love this team and that team and the other team.
I think this week stunk to begin with in terms of
value.
I like
one play. I'm pass post, $40 fine. Uh-huh. I like the Eagles. I've been on an island. I put out my power ratings each and every week, and I made that game 5.5. So, and that you could lay three early in the week and all the money came in on the Eagles. So I continue to like the Eagles. And in fact, well, we'll talk about the Eagles week 12. Yes.
Week 12. Do you want to sneak that one in first?
Yeah, let's right. lead with. So the Eagles are at the Rams.
Yeah.
DraftKings -2.5, lay $1.20. That'd be my first play. I'd find, you know, waiting. If you don't have access to that, the Eagles would come up -3 probably. And I've got a very similar game. I've got the Eagles. Think about this. So, Rams aren't nearly as good as Washington. I know we got a flip of, you know, the venues, but the Eagles have to be -3.5 in this game, in my opinion. And you can lay less than 3.5. So, boom, you got to do it.
Eagles will be on extra rest, of course.
Yeah, the mini bye. They were commenting. I get a mini bye.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts was after the game. A little mini bye on that. Eagles look ahead for Stevie Fezzik.
Go.
Go. It's a
We are betting the Eagles.
You love that, the right angle sports method.
Adam Chernoff, he's so good. I'd like for him to pick more winners, but he's so good at like setting that
what
up.
What I didn't know is that I always thought there was just go and cancel, but you're telling me there was an oppo option as well?
He's part of right angle sports, and this is the brilliance, because what happens is they set it up and they wait for people to say go, but then they go oppo, go the opposite way.
I love it. More look aheads from Steve Fezzik on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you ready to try something different? No, not that. Sign up to start playing the ponies on First Bet. First Bet's U.S. based and offers wagering on hundreds of races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200. To claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200, head to firstbet.com today. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game. Always appreciate it. D-Gen Southern Gent. I agree with Chris Felica. Milrow's a good bet at those odds. I wouldn't feel dumb losing that bet like I might betting on Paul Tyson or betting Anthony Richardson to win MVP or betting betting J.J. Wolf to win an ATP-level clay court match.
That
one, he says that one was me. That's an awesome nuanced tennis comment there at the end about J.J. Wolf on clay. This is from I've Begun to Gather My Things. Mike_Marsh83 says, me being told there's a pillow fight taking place on Netflix tonight that everyone is excited to see and no other context is provided, only to find out it's Tyson versus Paul. He has a look of astonishment. Bloxy Books. Hey, Gil, your new VSiN Live app is awesome, like an early Christmas gift. Look at that. It's like, well, it's like we did not stage these promos. These are actual tweets from actual people loving our VSiN app. Chase Kitty, as a West Virginia guy, my new favorite element of the Megapod is that I now get semi-regular updates on what Major Harris is up to just when I thought I couldn't love the pod anymore. Thank you. That's all Wishnev. Todd Wishnev goes to, I guess he's at Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh. Is that the one he goes to? But Major Harris, former West Virginia great, he's with him the whole time, and Todd refers to him as Mage. They have that kind of relationship. And Forrest Lehman, 100% agree with Fez on the movement of the ball on that Zach Ertz two-point try and two-point conversion, and zero reference of it by either Michaels Herbstreit or the always overrated ref on location. That's for sure.
Absolutely. By the way, quick note on Tyson. My son went to Mike Tyson's child, Morocco's school for a little while. Very nice guy, Mike Tyson. So I met him.
Oh, yeah.
And the like. Shocker, Mike Tyson's son, when they had a little school play, played the strong man. I think that was good casting.
Steve, you said off air you wanted to curry favor with the audience. What did you want to say about the listeners?
Best audience ever. You know.
Thank you.
It's incredible. It's just I'm humbled to be able to be a part of the show, but I love the audience of the show and the feedback.
It's
not just that we're entertaining. I mean, you guys are just incredible. Are you not entertained out there with these tweets and this feedback? Fantastic.
They are as part of the show as me and Kelly are. That's how I like it to be. They're fantastic.
On
audience.
Some days, they carry your show.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a second. All right, before we get to anything else, you have a whole list of look-aheads. Oh, no, before we do that, hold on, I'm sorry. I got the order all out of whack because we talk about stuff off-air, so I want to get to everything. BYU Utah, before we get to the rest of your picks. BYU Utah, this was fascinating from so many levels, but one of them was what you said when in the moment. I remember you texted something.
I bet BYU on the money line, so it was a big play for me. I literally would have... If you told me, Steve, you can cash out, you can surrender your bet, and we're going to give you one cent on the dollar, all right?
Yes.
I would have taken it, all right? So the context was, the point I would have taken it, so it's fourth down, and BYU is on their own three-yard line. They can't do anything, and their quarterback's getting sacked, and he just spikes the ball on fourth down. So game over. Oh, but there was a timeout called, so we're going to redo the play.
Oh, right, the one where he rolled out to the right. Yeah.
So the next play, they're on the 7-yard line. So he goes back to his own, you know, to the goal line and gets smashed and sacked. Game's over.
Game over.
Utah's celebrating. Crowd's about to go out on the field. It's like, wait a minute. Yeah, Sputnik has picked up a holding call.
I said the only footage they had was from Sputnik. Seriously.
Skylab has a view on this, and it appears there was a flagrant holding call, which is 10 yards. So, but literally, like the announcer said so late that like I've watched enough football to know they would have told me there was a flag before that. So my only path to victory is that, you know, BYU trails by two. So I need Utah to score the touchdown, miss the extra point, and then come down all the way down the field, get 2-point conversion, and win in overtime. And yet they won. So that little fortunate. Yes.
It's the only time, and you've bet on 5 bajillion football games in your life, it's the only time you legitimately thought, oh, the game's over, I lost.
I almost turned off the TV set.
And there was the flag.
That's the first. And now I've lost games that I thought I had won. But pitchy woo woo style.
Pitchy woo woo. That's right. But the fan footage showed it was actually a hold.
All that crying
and whining was not justified. It absolutely was a hold. Okay. The remainder of your look ahead. So you have Philadelphia taking Philadelphia over the Rams in week 12. What else you got?
So one more side. Carolina is hosting Kansas City plus 11. My power ratings make it 11. I mean, what's the book on the Chiefs, right? You can just see this is one where Kelsey, slight, you know, groin pull, maybe doesn't play. All Kansas City does is the minimum in order to win. Famously, they got this winning streak where they never win by margin, and now they're laying 11.5, and I make it 11, and the spot's terrible for Kansas City off Buffalo. Give me those horrible Carolina Panthers plus the 11.5.
Wow. Live through that one. Okay. You have a couple totals.
Yeah, I don't get either one of these. So Tennessee, Houston, one I get, one I don't. Tennessee, Houston, Tennessee is a dead nut under team that just keeps giving up defensive and special team scores.
Dead nut.
And Houston's a dead nut under team with a good defense and a struggling offense. And we got 42.5. We're going under the 42.5.
Okay. And then you have an over.
Yeah. And this one, I do get the number, but the number's wrong. So Baltimore and the LAC, the Chargers over 47. So now here it's quirky. The Chargers schedule, everyone's like, oh, every game but one for the Chargers has gone under the total. What the heck is Steve doing going over? Well, the reason that their games are so low scoring is they're playing a preponderance of games against dead nut under teams like the Raiders, like the Broncos, like the Steelers. They're just not playing any good quarterbacks. Even when they play New Orleans, they get Spencer Rattler. So, of course, they don't do nothing on offense. They just hand the ball off. Don't turn it over. They knew they were going to win. Well, they're going to have to score to win this game. And Baltimore, obviously, historically good offense and a sieve on their passing defense. So Herbert will probably throw for 300. So over 47 Baltimore Chargers. Bold prediction, all four of these, we will beat the closing number.
Okay, so here's, and now I feel compelled to ask this because I was about to follow up with, are we keeping track of what your record is in these games? That's the first thing we should be keeping track. But, you know, the point of this is to win bets. But I notice, right, like if you're trying to, the exercise is really about not only winning it, but getting ahead of the line and getting the best of it. You are not more concerned with the best of it than you are with the wins and losses, I would assume. But just for new bettors, what we're talking about here is, and when Steve focuses on beating the closing line value, again, I've mentioned it from time to time, that an offshore bookmaker will largely profile you as likely to succeed in the future at a better rate than someone who is not ahead of the closing line at that kind of rate, as someone who does it often.
Absolutely. And frankly, I just want to be a checker master. It's like if you're like the 10th best poker player in the world and you're playing against Phil Ivey and eight other, you know, sharps that are in the top 10, you're going to lose. All right. So it's Friday. NFL super high limits. Now I am playing against the best players in the world. It's hard to win sides. It's hard to win totals.
They are calibrated. The market has spoken.
Exactly. So I would much prefer to fast forward. Give me, what's that game show? Give me fast forward NFL for 200, please.
Yeah.
Let me go to the next week. Let me go to games of the year. Let me go to season wins that are not nearly calibrated. Why? Because the limits aren't high enough yet for any of the big boys, the Billy Walters and the like, to tip their hands and get involved.
It's why guessing lines on Monday still works. They are not beaten into submission yet, right?
Exactly there right. And if you go back historically, and I will summarize, you know, part of it, I've actually won some games with lousy closing line value because you're going to get some like that.
Oh, of course. You know? Just because you have it doesn't mean you're winning it if you have closing line value. Boy, don't we know that. As the CLV trash cans exist. You seen those in Vegas, those trash cans? They have CLV with something in Las Vegas. I don't know what the C stands for.
Yeah.
But they're stamped on it.
Yeah, people feel like if they bet, like, although I will say anyone with the CLV of what like the Indiana Hoosiers, Michigan State game, you know, if you bet Indiana plus 14 and they close minus 14, that's one where the CLV probably gets home on the games of the year, right?
Before we go, we wanted to talk about our next guest is going to be Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob's going to have a couple college football plays for us. And you and I were just talking off air about, you know, about how handicapping has changed in football and how it used to be, and Bob will admit this, anybody will admit this, back in the day, it used to be easier to beat this racket, right? It just was. But Bob does something that I think is pretty amazing, and that is?
Yeah, so Bob gives out his plays based upon his rating, how much the market is off what he thinks the line should be. So actually, even on his website, he shows 5- and 4-star records, and it's 0-0 because there's never a 5 or a 4-star because it's never the line's never off by that much. But he used to have 3 stars back 15 years ago on a weekly basis.
Not even 15. Like five years ago.
And like literally he'll go a month without a 3-star and he would sell so much more. So for his pocketbook as a service, if he just gave out like this is my really big play, but he doesn't do it. He has so much integrity. He never, ever hypes a play unless his numbers absolutely say it has a huge advantage. And that's like such a contrast to the cesspool that often is our industry. And so because of that, he has so much more integrity than 99% of us. It's just fantastic that he won't fake his numbers. It's like, hey, it's only off by 2 points. It's not that good a bet.
Beautifully put. Guest on guest love. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Dr. Bob is next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming up at the top of the hour after a numbers game, money moves. Stormy's on assignment. She's got her college football thing going on. So it's going to be Patrick Maher and Jeff Schwartz. hosting Money Moves Today from noon to 2 Eastern, followed by Prop Points with John Hansen, 2 to 3, then Make It Rain with Adam Schein, 3 to 4, taking you through the day on a Football Friday right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, which brings us to our VSiN, or G-Bank, Best Bets of the Day. G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN, I should say. And we have a bevy. Am I allowed to use the word bevy? Let's start with bevy of picks from Steve Fezzik. His look-aheads once again. His sides, he's on the Panthers, taking the points against the Chiefs. These are Week 12 bets. And he's also got the Eagles laying the 2.5 against the Rams. Then he's got a couple totals for Week 12, Titans-Texans. He's taking the under 42.5. He's taking the Ravens-Chargers over 47. Jordan Sherwood checking in for UFC 309 tomorrow night. He's taking John Jones via submission in the main event versus Stipe Miocic. And then he's got Charles Oliveira in the co-main inside the distance. Bo Nickel in round one. That's also on the main card at plus 110. And then on the preliminary card, he's got Eric Anders against Weidman there at minus 120. Jason Weingarten checking in with a couple college football bets. He's on Sam Houston State laying the 16 against Kennesaw State. And Utah plus 11 versus the Colorado Buffaloes. Chris Felica, not to be outdone. Couple futures plays. He's got Alabama to win the SEC at 4-1. He also took a flyer on Jalen Milroe, it should be pointed out, to win the Heisman at 23-1. Then his four college football plays, three sides. He's on UW laying the points. He's taking Wisconsin plus the points, plus 14 against Oregon. And he's got the Spartans of San Jose State grabbing 14 in that game as well. Also the team total under on the team he calls the biggest fraud out there, Missouri. Team total under 14.5. I am on the Saints this weekend. I actually got the worst of it. I'm laying a point against the Browns. It actually went against me. It's a pick 'em. I even saw the Browns favored by one at some point yesterday. I don't get it. I don't know why the Browns are getting this much respect. It's not really a bet on the Saints as it is a bet on the number. So I'm on the Saints here against the Browns, which I don't understand why they're getting respect. Also on the Broncos, minus 2 against the who are they playing again? Bengals. There's my third. By the way, I have the Bengals and the Broncos in the plays tomorrow in the National Football League as my other two plays. Again, just to have the brain fart there. The Broncos once again taking on the Falcons. I think the Broncos defense will get to Kirk Cousins, will pressure him, and will make him a lesser quarterback. And I just think the Bengals are a better football team than the Chargers. So those are mine. Kelly checking in. Kelly's around here somewhere. He jumped on the Fezzik look ahead. He was there as well on the Eagles against the Rams in Week 12. And then on Sunday, he's got two plays in the two biggest matchups of the day. He's got the Ravens laying the points at Pittsburgh. And I can already hear Kelly's voice saying, I'll do it. I'll run into Mike Tomlin again. He's going to be that guy. Ravens minus 3, and then he's taking the Bills on the money line. He got the money line earlier against the Kansas City Chiefs. Those are your G-Bank best bets of the day. G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. G-Bank Visa signature card, your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. Skill Alexander, Dr. Bob joins us, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive guest line, of course, at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com on the World Wide Web, the information superhighway, if you will. Bob joins us now from somewhere outside of Denver, Colorado. How you doing, Bob?
Doing good. I was just thinking, I don't know if you were paying attention, but I the win total bets, I released a couple, I released four of them before the season started on your show. One was Louisiana Tech over 5 wins, and one was Jacksonville State under 7.5. Louisiana Tech was winning that game against Jacksonville State, and Jacksonville State hoisted up a Hail Mary on the final play, which ended up forcing overtime, and Jacksonville State won in overtime. And I'm like, that is crushing, because now Louisiana Tech, instead of likely pushing, because they'll probably be Kennesaw State, they would have been a push at 5. Now it's going to be a loss, most likely, and Jacksonville State under 7.5 is now probably going to be, they'll probably get to 8 wins, where they probably would have had 7 wins had they lost that game. So that Hail Mary is going to cost me 2 bets. So just crushing. Like, you think they'd learn from the Chicago Bears, you know, just put a man on a man. There was a guy just behind the pile, just wide open. The ball went over the big strum, and right to his arms. I was like, you got to be kidding.
And college football season win totals have been your bread and butter through the years.
It's still been a good season. I've been on a really heater in college football, especially the last 5 or 6 weeks. We're like 62% for the season. But even though I had a winning week, I was like, that one just crushed me. I just felt like it was a losing week just because that one play just put me in such a sour mood after what otherwise was a good day.
Man. All right, Bob, we got 5 minutes. We got to get to two games, and I know how you like to be thorough. So let's begin in the Big Ten, Maryland and Rutgers. What you got?
Well, everybody knows by now, I think Rutgers is overrated, and I hadn't been against them the last couple weeks, and they did me a favor by beating Minnesota last week, which raised their market profile enough to get the line low enough for me to bet on Maryland this week. I released it early in the week at -4. Right now it's mostly -5, and I still think Maryland is a good bet here. Rutgers has a decent offense. They're a little bit better than average offensively, but Maryland's defense is almost as good as Rutgers' offense has been, just a 0.1 yards per play differential there. And Maryland's defense is getting better. They held Oregon to 5.6 yards per play. That's lowest of the season for Oregon. A little deceiving that they lost by 21 because Oregon had a defensive touchdown there. But Maryland's defense is played really well last week, and they're pretty much even with Rutgers' offense. But Rutgers' defense is just dreadful. Since facing Howard and Akron to start the season, which are two horrible offensive teams, they've given up an average of 6.9 yards per play in the six games since then. They are dreadful defensively. And Maryland's better offensively than you think. They're averaging 5.7 yards per play, which is kind of around average. But the teams they face would allow 5.2 to an average team. So they've been a better than average team. And they've only faced two teams that aren't good defensively. One is Connecticut, who's average defensively. The other is Villanova, who actually has a very good defense for the FCS level and would only be 0.4 yards per play worse than an average FBS defense. In those two games, Maryland scored 44 points on average on 567 yards. So I think Maryland finally facing a team that sucks on defense, I think they're going to open it up, and Maryland should be favored by more than a touchdown, and the line's 5 mostly, -5.5, but I'll take it up to -6.
Terps, baby. Let's go. Bob's on Maryland against Rutgers this Saturday, tomorrow at 6 Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. All right. SMU, just on the outside looking in the college football, the latest college football playoff bracket. I guess Georgia's just on the outside looking in, but SMU is ranked 14th, just outside of the 12-team bracket. They're taking on, let's call them a middling Boston College team in the ACC. This line has moved tremendously, Bob. Where do you stand on this?
Well, I moved it partially. I released SMU at -17.5, and it's up to 19 or 19.5. I still think it's a good bet. My model actually liked SMU before Boston College decided to go with Grayson James at quarterback in place of Thomas Castaneda. And Castellanos has quit the team since then. And I don't blame him. I would not want to play for a coaching staff that thinks Grayson James is a good quarterback. Now, there's a lot of data on James. He played 3 seasons at Florida International in 3 years, 442 pass plays. He averaged 5.0 yards per pass play, which is terrible. And that's mostly against bad defensive teams in the Conference USA. Now, he has had 40 pass plays this year and a start. He's only averaged 5.4 yards per pass play this year against teams that would allow 7.7 to an average quarterback. He's still bad against Western Kentucky, a horrible defensive team with a bad pass defense. They only averaged 4.9 yards per pass play in that game, and they only scored 21 points, and they barely won that game. Grayson James is a terrible quarterback, and the only way to beat SMU is by throwing deep, because SMU does not allow teams to run on them. They only allow 3.8 yards per run, which is in the top 10 compensated yards per run defense. So they're going to force James to beat them, and the only way to do it against SMU is to throw deep, and they can't do that. James averages 9.5 yards per completion in his career. He's not a deep thrower. I just think SMU and SMU's offense, 43 points a game in 6 games since Kevin Jennings took over, and they want to run it up because they want to impress the committee. I think it's a complete blowout. So SMU at 19.5, 19, 20. I think SMU just crushes Boston College here.
What's the point? What's the point where you say no more? 21?
Well, no, I'd say 20, just because the line's gone up so much. You have to respect the market enough, but okay. I think 20. But it's mostly 19 right now, so 19.5. But it's kind of trending down. If you have 19.5, you might want to wait for a 19.
All right, Maryland and SMU up to 20. per Bob. Bob, always a pleasure. Bob, real quick before we go, one team answer here. The best team in college football per your ratings is?
Probably Ohio State.
Probably Ohio State.
No one's dominant. I'd say they're a little bit better than Oregon and Alabama.
Okay, there it is. Bob, thank you. Enjoy the weekend. Good luck with all the bets, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
The great Bob Stoll, everybody. He does have a last name, Dr. Bob, at Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Money Moves is next. Patrick Maher, Jeff Schwartz, enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.